And we're back on this Thursday morning on News Talk 107.9. Neil Larson, along with Julie Mason. And joining us from the Capitol this morning is U.S. Senator Jim Risch. Senator, welcome. Always good to have you on.
Well, good to be here, Neil. Good to talk to you.
Well, let's start. You lost a good friend a few days ago in former Governor Dirk Kempthorne. And in fact, you took over the reins when he left to become Interior Secretary. And would love your thoughts on the passing of Governor Kempthorne.
Well, look, Dirk was one of the nicest, kindest people I've ever met in my life. And that's particularly true with politics. I mean, he was very good at it. And it wasn't because he worked at it. It was just who he was. I mean, whenever you talked to Dirk, you were talking to him, and everything else in the world was blurred out as far as he was concerned. And he just was really good with people, great at names. He could remember everybody's name and their kids' names and everything else. He was a really good friend. Obviously, I was his lieutenant governor prior to him leaving to go to be Secretary of Interior. So I worked with him in that regard. And then after that, of course, we had different offices, but pretty much held office at the same time over the years. And one of the things I really need to mention is, you know, we commissioned the U.S. Idaho last weekend. He was supposed to be there, but he was diagnosed about a year ago. For those of us that were close to him, knew that and followed it. And he really he fought hard for a year, really struggled. But as time went on, it was pretty apparent he wasn't going to be able to be at the commissioning, which was really unfortunate. I had gotten the Navy to name the engine compartment after him because, number one, it's the heart of the ship, and number two, it contained an engine that was designed and developed in Idaho. And I hit them up, and they said, "Oh, we've never done that before." And I said, no, that's not the answer I want. And I fought with them over and over and over again. And finally, went all the way to the Secretary of the Navy, and I think he got tired of taking my calls. They finally agreed to it. So there's a really nice plaque on the engine compartment, dedicating it to Dirk Kempthorne. Then the same thing happened as we went towards the commissioning. They had some speaker to give the address for the commissioning that was going to give the keynote address. And I said, no. Really, Dirk should do this. No, that's not the way we do it. So I fought. Finally convinced him that Dirk should do it. Well, that was a couple of months out. And then, of course, as it got closer, it was pretty apparent he wasn't going to do it. Yeah. So, and in any event, he had written the that and asked me to deliver that. So I did.
Yeah.
If you mark my own list. And we had about 800 people from Idaho there to witness the commissioning. It was a big deal.
Oh, that's
it was really unfortunate. He died at about 9 o'clock on Friday evening, and we had a big dinner Friday evening back there that all the Idaho people attended. And then Saturday we had the actual commissioning, and then right after that they announced that he had passed.
Well, Idaho, I think, in generally will remember him fondly. And so thank you for sharing your friendship with him and your background with him. Senator, let's shift into, Iran, Strait of Hormuz, negotiations continue, and our president's tough stance toward Iran continues as well. And we'd love your take on that.
Well, look, you can't get tough enough with Iran. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll do what, you know, they killed between the fight in June and the recent one, they killed 40,000 of their own people because they disagreed with the administration there. So these are some of the most awful people on the planet. And they can never have a nuclear weapon, and they absolutely refuse to give up those ambitions. And sometimes they say they do, and then other times they say they don't. And the only thing you can be sure of is that they'll lie, and they whatever they say, they will probably do their best to try to move back there. Look, I'm in touch regularly with the negotiators, and What's going on. I think we need to be patient with them because these guys, it's not going to be quick instantly, but it isn't going to go on very long either. Obviously, their economy is in horrible, horrible shape. The problem here, of course, is people are very impatient with the fuel prices. And the fact that they're lower now than they were during the Biden administration is not make people feel very good at all. You know, I mean, they need to be back down where Trump had them when he left office and then when he got them back down when he came back to office. And he will do that, and that will happen. But we need to get this behind us as soon as we can.
All right. So you mentioned those fuel costs, and I believe that everybody thinks they're an oil expert immediately when we start to have issues with this. I would actually like your opinion. Is the Strait of Hormuz up and functioning at some usable level? And do you have a forecast for what will happen with these gas prices and the price of oil?
Well, first of all, the prices have got to come down. I mean, the president knows that, and there are a number of things they can do to do that, and they're working at that. The thing that can happen is get this thing over with Iran and get the Straits of Hormuz open. This is going to create some different infrastructure in the region, I believe. They're already looking at different pipelines and that sort of thing to move it without having to go through the Straits of Hormuz for future years. But in any event, it is not what I would say is a usable function. There is some passage there. The problem is one day it's open, the next day it's not. And who really drives that is not the politicians or the governments, but the insurers of ships that go through the Straits of Hormuz. They give the permission or non-permission to go through the Straits because obviously they don't want to pay a claim of $200 million or something if one of those ships goes down. So it's the insurers that are calling the shots on that. So very, very, there's very little traffic going through there.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Jim Risch. Senator, let's talk about the Department of Homeland Security funding. That stalemate continues with Democrats standing in the way of fully funding that department. And what can you tell us about the latest?
Well, it's outrageous. You know, the Democrats have sat on their hands on this from the beginning and done everything they can to try to keep from getting the funding done. Times are always dangerous in the United States, but we're at a particularly dangerous time right now. And Homeland Security is the agency that takes care of us. Starting with the president, the part of Homeland Security is the Secret Service that guards the president. They're not getting paid, and they haven't been getting paid. Obviously, the one that affects us all is TSA. We found ways to fund that, even though the Democrats blocked the fund. They moved some money around in the administration, but as of today, they're going to be out on that. TSA is going to be back, not being paid again. This stuff is outrageous. I understand that the Democrats hate Trump and they do everything they can to stop him from doing the things he does. But hurting the American people in that process is just not acceptable. And that's what they're doing here. So we keep fighting with them on it. We're going to continue to fight with them on it. We've got the government completely funded except for this Homeland Security, and it just really needs to be done. I've been a sponsor since I got here of numerous bills that said, look, when we can't reach a funding agreement or when we hit the national debt, the government continues on at the same level. It's called a continuing resolution. It just stays in place. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. But we don't shut the government down. We don't make people work, which is what we do. If it's an essential job, we make them work without paying them. It's just not right. And boy, the Dems just love it. And it's incredibly frustrating.
Senator, really quick, we only have about a minute or two left here, but just a follow-up to that. What does this mean for the midterms? I know Senator Kennedy said the other day he's worried that Democrats will deliberately try to shut down the government for the midterms. Do you think they'll do that? And do you think it'll be effective for them?
Well, there's no question they will attempt to do that. We run, the budgeting starts October 1st. and that's just a month away from the election. They would love nothing better than to be shut down for a month and then go into an election with the government shut down and say, aha, look, the Republicans can't govern, put us in, we'll govern. And that is an absolute we're aware of that we've got to.
Yeah.
The good news is we know it's coming. And if it gets done, it'll be our fault that it wasn't funded, because we know it's coming and we have ways of funding it. It's hard. It takes time. It's a huge knockdown, drag-out fight. We're going to do this. We're in charge. We're governing. We will get funded by Election Day.
All right. Senator Jim Risch joining us this morning. Senator, always a pleasure. Thank you. And be sure and join us coming up just ahead. A few minutes away, we'll have our debate between Representative Barb Ehart and Connor Cook right here on News Talk 107.9, Stimulating Talk for East Idaho.